reading this morning is from Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost sheep. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable.
Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent.
Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbours together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I was given a pearl pendant on a chain when I was a young adult. It was given to me by an aunt, Tante Villemain. She wasn't really an aunt. She was more of a grand foster mother. She'd been a foster mother to my mother in her teenage years, and they remained like family for the rest of their lives. Now, Uncle Ruut and Tante Villemain were Dutch, as you might have guessed from their names. They didn't have any children of their own, but they were wonderful parents to a whole bunch of foster children. And we loved them like another set of grandparents. Tante Villemain sadly died in her 60s. And before she died, she gave all the foster granddaughters a pearl pendant from Holland. I wore mine a lot. I mean, a lot. All my friends would have seen my pearl. About 15 years ago, I lost it one morning in the house. I searched everywhere. And in the end, I wondered if the clasp wasn't clasped properly. And perhaps it had gone down a drain hole in the laundry or the bathroom as I'd walked over it. The next day, I was worship leading. And I shared how I'd lost my pearl. And this pearl wasn't worth much, as the world would see it. But it had great sentimental value to me, great worth. And I was sharing that if we search for something high and low, how much more God searches for us as God values us so highly. After the service, someone came up and said they felt that this pearl was somewhere deep, like in a pocket, and asked if I'd been wearing an apron. I'd never wear an apron. I said, no. At home, I checked the pockets of everything that I'd been wearing, and to no avail, I gave up and I lamented my pearl. 6 months later, I moved something that had been sitting at the very bottom of the laundry washing basket. It's sort of this wooden frame with a cotton bag as a basket. It's a bit like a deep pocket. And there it was, to my delight, my pearl. And I rejoiced. I wore it for another 10 years until I lost it when we're at El Questro in the top of Western Australia. And I was grateful for that extra 10 years, and I was a lot more accepting when it was lost the second time. What have you lost that was precious? I brought out the lost property, the lost and found box wondered perhaps if any of this might be yours that you've lost. It's amazing what ends up in the lost and found box. In these two parables that we've just heard read, we have two lost and found stories. Stories that we may have heard before, perhaps many, many times, and they're actually part of a trilogy. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. Why did Jesus tell these stories? There's a setting here. In the previous chapter, Jesus had been invited to eat at the house of a leader of the Pharisees. But here we hear that the tax collectors and sinners were gathering around him. They were drawn to him, whereas the Pharisees and scribes were muttering and grumbling. Sinners are drawn to Jesus, but religious leaders complain that he accepts and even eats with sinners. The tax collectors were Jews who were collecting taxes or tolls on behalf of the Romans. They were in collusion with the Romans, and the system was open for corruption and abuse. So the tax collectors were not appreciated. In fact, they were scorned and therefore outcast, socially unacceptable. The Pharisees designated sinners as those who broke moral laws and also those who didn't maintain the ritual purity important to the Pharisees. Sometimes they were too poor to. So it was a scandal that Jesus received them, spoke with them, and even ate with them. And hence the Pharisees, the onlookers, were grumpy. And Jesus shares these three parables, and we're looking at the first two today. And there's a pattern here. We have a sheep, it's lost, it's sought out, and it's found, and then there's celebration over its recovery. We have a coin that is lost, looked for, found, and a celebration over the recovery. In the third parable, we have a son. The son leaves and becomes lost. The father waits. The son returns that he's found, and there's a celebration. Now, in the first parable, the parable of the lost sheep, it's a bit hard for us to relate to the sheep being lost. You know, we live in a country with millions of sheep. About 77 million sheep. So we can't quite grasp 100 sheep, yet alone only one going missing. So perhaps think of it as a hobby farm where the sheep are all named and known. They've been hand-reared. They follow you around in the paddock. And if one goes missing, you try to find it. The parable echoes Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," where we see God's provision, "I shall not want," and God's protection, "though I walk through the darkest valley." And this highlights God's restoration and how God seeks out and saves the lost. The second parable features a woman. Interesting that a woman is a central character, as this is rather rare in ancient literature. In fact, Luke emphasizes the role of women throughout his gospel. So the woman loses one coin, a drachma, one coin out of 10. A drachma was about a day's wage. If I lost a day's wage, I think I'd be looking for it too. But it's not a huge sum. If it was, we would probably lose the point, because who wouldn't search for a large sum? And it's one coin out of 10, so she still has 9 coins. She's searching for lesser value than what she still has. Houses at the time had a dirt floor, a small door, and no window. So finding a coin was quite a task. And hence she lights a lamp, sweeps the house, and searches carefully. Finding the coin, She rejoices, calls her friends to celebrate with her. You know, these lost parables are intended to move that second group, the Pharisees and the scribes, the onlookers, from grumbling to rejoicing. He starts the parable with, suppose one of you, or suppose a woman. Both start with a question, then story of losing and finding and celebration, and then the moral. There is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. I wonder, who are we in this parable? Are we the lost, the finder, or the onlookers? You know, often we read these parables and we see ourselves as the lost, being sought out by God, and we celebrate God's persistence in finding us. Are we the lost? You know, we are lost. You know, sin, the rejection of God, neighbour and creation separates us from God and us from each other. God's redemption restores us to relationship with God and each other. This is fullness of life. This is reconciliation. This is good news. And from this parable, we see that God doesn't give up on us. God takes the initiative and comes out looking for us, like the shepherd looking for the lost sheep, like the woman lighting a lamp to hunt for the coin. God searches for us. And the returning of the lost is cause for great celebration. Notice that all the action verbs are based around the shepherd or the woman. They are responsible for the finding and the recovery. The sheep and the coin do not repent, nor is there an expectation to. Perhaps their repenting is simply being found. The measure of rejoicing suggests that the recovered sheep and coin was irretrievably lost, and perhaps unlikely or impossible. There is no sense of weighing up here whether the lost is worth the finding. You know, we often do this when we go to find things. Is it worth it? But here God says, yes, yes, you are worth it. Or perhaps we're the finder, the shepherd and the woman. It's easy to think of the shepherd and the woman as metaphors for God, but we participate in the mission of God. We are part of God's work here in this place, in this community, and in our everyday lives. So perhaps we can also look at this parable with us as the finders. Are we seeking those who are lost, those without hope? And do we rejoice when they are found? Or perhaps we're the onlookers. After all, Jesus told these stories to the Pharisees. They were the good church people of the day. They were faithful, solid church members, perhaps just like us. They simply wanted to uphold traditions, do things right, satisfy God, and please the right people. And Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, imagine the joy of being found. Imagine the joy of finding the lost. There's an invitation to enter into the joy. Jesus says that there is rejoicing in heaven and rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. You know, the English word for repentance implies contrition and remorse, a sense of sorry. But in the original language, the word for repentance is metanoia. And this has to do with change of mind and purpose. It's a shift in how we perceive and respond to life. When God finds us when we're lost, our usual ways of perceiving and responding to life are transformed. Although we say that God is a God of love, We tend to make that love conditional. It's conditional on our repentance. It depends on our keeping of the rules which are too often somewhat arbitrary. But Luke is pointing us towards a fundamental mind shift. A mind shift in our understanding of God here. There is a movement, there's a progression in the understanding of repentance. Even if we repent no more than the sheep or the coin, neither of which can repent, God's love still seeks us out. Perhaps in this we can see ourselves in all three: as the lost, as the finder, as the onlookers. As Jesus was sharing this with the Pharisees and challenging their thinking and grumbling, the question for us is, will we join the celebration? Is our relationship with God based on merit or mercy? In one way, these parables expose what we really think and feel. Do we have a grudging spirit that prevents us from rejoicing, prevents us from receiving God's mercy? Only those who can celebrate God's grace to others can experience that mercy for ourselves. Throughout the Gospel of Luke, Jesus dines with the poor and the rich, the tax collectors, sinners, and the Pharisees. He crosses barriers time and time again, and Luke invites us to the table with the tax collectors and the sinners, inviting us to find God's image in all that seems lost. I wonder what we've lost in our lives, or what we've lost as a community, or what we've lost as a wider community. You know, there are lots of things that we can lose in life. Do we find them in the lost property, in the lost and found box? We can lose direction and health, hope, faith, faculties, friends, focus, hair, health, heart for people and situations, keys, loved ones, mind, mobility, perspective, our phones, relationships, respect for people, our smile or our spark, teeth, temper, lose our touch, our youth or our way. But when we're lost, we can be found. As the lost, God searches and finds us. As the finder, we find others and help them to find what's lost in their lives. And as the onlookers, we enter the joy of the lost being found. We stop the grumbling. God helps us to find the things we've lost. And perhaps also to lose the things that we want to and need to lose, like bad feelings and sadness and anxiety and the dark pit that we can find ourselves in. God uses us to journey with others in this. We are a part of God's love to others. And together as a community, we search out those things that we feel that are lost, like unity and kindness, joy and compassion. And we pray together that these things may be found. We join the joy and the celebration when the lost are found, when those without hope find hope. In the parables, there is a lavishness in the celebrations that seems a bit out of place. But I think it invites us to recognize God's extravagant joy when the lost are found. And a parallel could be the extravagant, abundant hospitality shown when we welcome all. We welcome the sinner, whatever that looks like in our time. We welcome the social outcast. We welcome those who aren't welcomed elsewhere. The trilogy of the three parables is the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. But I like to think of them as the finding shepherd, the searching woman, and the waiting father. It puts the focus on the one finding, searching, and waiting. It brings alive for us the picture of God in this. God is the one who redeems and reconciles us to God through Jesus and reconciles us to each other. God's love for us is relentless, searches for us relentlessly. God welcomes the lost. And so we are to welcome the lost, those that are shunned by society, lost in the system, lost in bureaucracy. I encourage you to think about when you feel lost. What have you lost that needs to be found? And how can you help others to be found and help them to find what they've lost? God finds us. And as God finds us, we find our hope. We find our future. We find our way. In God, we find life, abundant life, full life, flourishing life. And as there is rejoicing in heaven, so we rejoice. So we find joy. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you that you find us. We get lost so readily. But you find us like the searching shepherd, the searching woman, and the waiting father. Lord Jesus, forgive us. For the times that we lose the things that we should keep. Our kindness, our compassion, our care for others. For when we lose our way. Forgive us for when we don't search out for others who don't have hope. Thank you that all these things and all the things that we do, say, and think that are not of you are forgiven through your death on the cross. Holy Spirit, help us to think about how we can help others to be found and to find what they've lost. We look to a world that finds joy. We look to be a world that celebrates compassion and kindness. Help us, lead us to the part that we play in this, in our world. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.